Ay bobo, ay bobo, ay bobo. Welcome to the Agua Cerrito podcast show, where we honor the divine, spark personal liberation, and deconstruct Haitian voodoo. I'm your host, Knowledge, also known as Konef Kife. Every episode is a digital offering to the sacred spirits, ancestors, and vibrant culture of Haitian voodoo. Through storytelling, interviews, and reflections, we will explore its roots, its power, and its impact. Voodoo is more than spirituality. It is life, legacy, and liberation. Another episode of the Agua Cerrito podcast show. I'm your host, Professor Knowledge, Professor Konekife. In today's episode, we are going to love on the loa, Marasa. As always, we begin our conversation about the divine by centering ourselves with breath and prayer. So let's start with our breath. Let's breathe together three times. Inhale stillness. And exhale tension. Inhale balance. And exhale worry. Inhale presence and exhale distraction. Allow your breath to align with your heartbeat. Greetings to Almighty God. Thank you for the breath of life. Greetings to all of the divine saints and angels. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of all four elements of earth, water, fire, and air in the east, west, north, and south, both known and unknown. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents and great-grandparents and beyond, both near and far. Greetings to the Loa Marasa, the Sacred Divine Twins. We invite you to be in community with us as we honor you. Greetings to you, our esteemed listeners. Thank you for the thread that connects us as brothers and sisters on this earthly realm. We ask to enlighten and empower our listeners with light, wisdom, and knowledge. We ask to liberate our hearts and minds in order to connect with the divine. We ask that whatever is needed from this episode be met. We ask that whatever guidance needs to be shared is shared and understood in this episode. We ask that whatever lessons need to be learned. Aibobo, ago ago, bo, rababa, asao, alaso, awoshenago, javodo, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa, sen, bo. Welcome back to another episode of the Agua City Doe podcast. If you've been on the journey with us, thank you so much for tuning in again. I truly appreciate you being part of our digital laku. And if you're new to the show, welcome and a big aibobo to you. I'm your host, Professor Knowledge, Professor Kone Kife. And this show is all about one thing: deconstructing, demystifying, and decolonizing Haitian voodoo. Each week, I share information with the goal of educating, empowering, and enlightening our listeners on the beautiful sacred religious practices of Haitian voodoo. Before we dive into today's episode, I'd love for you to hit that follow subscribe button so you never miss an update. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, leaving a quick rating or a review is one of the best ways to support the show. It helps people find us and keeps our digital laku growing. And of course, feel free to share this episode with a friend who you think would enjoy the show as well. And since we have listeners all over the world, every week, I shout out a city where our listeners are located. So this week, I want to send a big aibobo, a big shout out to all of our listeners in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Aibobo to you, Sao Paulo. While many people know that the Marasas are the divine cosmic twins, and they're typically represented as children, as you'll see with today's episode, there's a deeper layer to who the Marasa Loa are and what they represent. And so today we are going to unpack. We're going to unpack and talk about what does the Marasas, what does their signature energy represent? What are some inspirations of their manifestations represent? How do they show up? And most importantly today, we're going to also share, if you as a Vodouisan or an individual that's just interested in Vodou, you find yourself, let's say, attracted to the Marasa energy, whether you start to see them manifest in dreams, maybe everywhere you go, you're seeing twins, you're seeing kind of this energy represented surfacing in your life. What does that specifically mean to you? So we're going to unpack that in today's episode as we love on the Marasa Loa. I'm really excited to share that this episode will be entirely informed by the scholarly work of my late biological mother, Mumbo Itas. So let's delve in. As I said earlier, from an outsider's perspective, the Mahsa twins, at least from a westernized lens, is simply considered, oh, Mahsas, oh, okay, we're talking about the twin spirits, and people kind of move on from there. But the energy and the representation of who they are not only run deeper within Haitian Vodou, but it really runs deeper across the Pan-African spirituality. So let's start with Vodou. So within Vodou cosmology, when we think about the Mahsa, we think about these twin spirits. In Vodou, the Mahsas represent the mysteries of what we call divine paradox and multiplicity. And when we say divine paradox, one of the common terms, especially if you read a lot about Mahsa in Haitian Vodou scholarship, you'll sometimes see the phrase that three and two, or that two that are three. And this idea of two equaling three, it really reflects this metaphysical idea that duality is never just this simple black and white, up or down, this or that concept. It usually goes so much deeper than that. So let's take a moment before we continue further. I want to define the word paradox, specifically divine paradox from a spiritual lens, because a lot of the episodes that we have done, whether we're talking about the episode we did on Bonje or we're talking about the episode around the concept of good and evil, many of the, I'll say, the Vodou cosmology, it's centered around this idea around divine paradox. So it's really interesting that the Mahsas essentially represent that specific energy. And so when we say divine paradox, I want to go back to my original phrase, two equals three, or two is three. So even though the Mahsas are considered spiritual twins, there's also a manifestation of three of them. And there's more, which I'm going to unpack a little later in the episode. But just kind of go into this idea that two is three. If we think about it mathematically, most people will say, well, that doesn't really make sense in a mathematical sense. However, it shows, again, that paradox, that life and essentially the energy of Mahsa is not linear. Wholeness always has a hidden third. So we see this idea of a hidden third when we think about the 21 nations, right? The fact that there's that plus one on a nations, or you sometimes hear 101 nations. You sometimes hear, not only within Vodou cosmology, you hear in African, let's say like within Yoruba, you'll hear this concept of there being 401 spirits or deities. And each time there's a representation of a plus one from Vodou numerology or African or Pan-African numerology, it kind of is based, it's grounded in this idea of a divine paradox. The fact that it may not make sense mathematically, however, that plus one shows that there's always hidden truths. You know, in Creole, there's this saying where we say, Gemon, right? And when we say Gemon, it means within mountains, there's mountains behind the mountains. And that is essentially a perfect phrase, a perfect quote that brings this idea around divine paradox into reality. When we talk about divine paradox, again, from a Mahsa energy perspective, we're also talking about, these are considered children, right? Children in the earthly realm. However, these are ancient beings. And because the Mahsas appear as playful children, people sometimes misunderstand their specific energy because the Mahsas are primordial beings. The Mahsa sacred twins are older than space and time in and of itself. And because of their their wisdom because how ancient the Magasa energy is. They embody the innocence of a child. They embody cosmic wisdom in the form of a child, in the sense of the innocent energy of a child. It goes back to them being kind of some of the highest spiritual, the highest divine energy from the God source itself. When we think about divine paradox, we also think about this idea about fragile yet powerful. And we see that play out time and time again. So again, because the Magasas appear as children, from a Western perspective, children are seen as not being powerful. They're seen as being weak in a sense because they are being taken care of and they are younger. Maybe they don't have as much experience, quote unquote. But from a spiritual perspective, that fragility is actually what gives the Magasa power. And in fact, the Magasa carry some of the greatest protective force in all of Vodou. So if we think about paradox, paradox is not looking at things to confuse people. It's really, how can we tap into the energy of creation? And when we think about creation, creation is that there's always kind of a hidden realm. There's always a sense of potentiality that comes with divine paradox. That goes back to that plus one in Vodou numerology. So that shows us that the Magasa, they are a contradiction in and of themselves, and that contradiction is considered sacred. That contradiction is a life force. It's what gives the ability to be creative. It's what gives the ability to birth a new idea. It's what kind of gives us an opportunity to continue to make new decisions at the, in a nanosecond, we can make a new decision just between us pausing and making a new decision or pivoting or thinking about something different. That, in a sense, invites the energy of paradox into our existence, into this incarnation. And it shows that the Magasa, it shows that life can hold opposites without the need for one to erase the other. And I think it's really interesting in that most people, especially those that may have kind of a Western worldview, the Western worldview demands structure. It demands linear. It demands everything to quote unquote make sense. And because of that, many people are kind of really raised and brought up with this idea that things have to be black or white. They have to be this or that. You have to be good or evil. You have to go up or down. And the Magasa energy really disrupts that linear thinking. The Magasas affirm the and. We can go up and we can go down. We can go left and we can go right. We live in a world where the concept of divine paradox is essentially oppressed. And the Magasa energy as sacred twins remind us to embrace the paradoxes of life. So if I think about the episode I did on God, that was episode 26. There's a lot of divine paradox theory or concept woven into that specific episode that if a person from a truly Westernized perspective may listen to that episode, they may flat out not agree with the episode. They may find it to be very triggering because it shakes their fundamental foundation of the value of paradoxes in our lives. And paradoxes, again, is a fundamental current within, not only within Vodou cosmology, but within African cosmology as well. So again, if you haven't got a chance to check out the episode on God, episode 26, also episode 14 in season one, when I talk about the concept of good and evil, again, these are influenced by the concept of divine paradox. And it is an important concept to understand, which is why I wanted to take some time to unpack that as we talk about the magasas, which again are the mysteries of divine paradox. I want to go to a definition, a different definition, or a different way to see a definition within Haitian Vodou. And this is informed by the late Mumbo Itas. In 1990, Mumbo Itas provided a really interesting definition of the magasa. So she says, the magasa carries the divine name in the form of Mary Magdalene as the Vodou twins. Or she says the words Jimo Vodou. And she really breaks down the scientific terms to say that magasa signifies doubling the water of life for Vodou practitioners. Magasa means twinning, a foundational pillar or potomita in the rite of the Veve. So if we break down her specific definition around magasa signifying doubling the water of life for Vodou practitioners, let me take a moment and break that down. So when we think again about the magasas, they are about things coming in pairs, but not just as two separate beings. They are about doubling as a sacred force. And it shows, again, this idea of a divine paradox in the fact that life is made up of reflection, mirroring, and balance. So with magasa signifying doubling, it is not just the pairs. It's just looking at it as there being one and two or two and three. She also says that the magasas represent the water of life for Vodou practitioners. In this sense, the magasas are like spiritual water. They refresh, they nourish, they make ceremonies possible for Vodou practitioners. And we're gonna talk about that in a moment here. And just like no one can live without water, no Vodou practice is complete without the presence of magasas. So many individuals as Vodou practitioners, as they continue on their spiritual journey, at some point in their journey, many Vodou practitioners will have some sort of encounter with magasa. And it shows that the magasas are the water of life. And Mumbo Itas then breaks down and says, magasas means twinning. And it's interesting, twinning is kind of a pop culture word. However, when we think about twinning in a sense, in a spiritual lens, it's not just biological twinning. It is also that divine paradox, is the duality. So in this context, twinning can mean how life comes in double, whether we're talking day and night, male or female, yin and yang, laughter and tears, anywhere where there's a duality energy. That is essentially when we think about twinning and magasa, it is again beyond this idea of biological twins that are human twins. She goes on to say that the magasas are a foundational pillar or potomita in the rite of the Veve. It really emphasizes in the last part of her definition that the magasas are central. They are considered the potomita, and we're gonna unpack the potomita in the future. But because the potomita is the sacred pole within Vodou temples, the way that the potomita is holds the temple up is essentially how the magasa energy holds up the Vodou practice. So it goes back to the importance of having divine paradox, inviting divine paradox into our lives, but also inviting this idea of duality into our lives in a way that we can tap specifically into that energy. The magasas are believed to derive from West and Central African religious traditions, particularly among the Fon and Yoruba peoples. And in many African cosmologies, the twins also hold a sacred space and are thought to embody special powers because of that dual symbolism that they have and the paradox of being two yet one. And actually, in some African cosmologies, there's belief that the Malasa are in fact phone creator spirits, the Mawulisa. And we talked about the Mawulisa in episode 26 when we talked about Bonje. But going back to the idea that the Malasas represent more than just twins, more people, most commonly when people think about Malasa, they will say, oh yeah, there's Malasa which is Malasa 1, there's the twins, the Malasa 2, or there's Malasa 3, which is we call Malasa 3. But again, Malasas represent paradoxes and multiplicity. And because of this, the Malasa energy is more than just the commonly known Malasa 3. And in September 1991, Mumbo Itesse Jean-Baptiste, she actually breaks that down even further. In September in 1991, she writes, in reality, there are seven Malasa, because in Vodou, there is what is called dédoublement or duplication, which is governed by the numbers 7 and 14. These numbers are connected to the orientation of the temple or the Wunfo in relation to the seven stages of the central pillar represented as a serpent climbing upward and seven stages descending within the temple. She goes on to say that the Malasa are placed at these points within the temple, within the Potomita, to fulfill a domestic role as Vodou twins. Among them, Malasa De or Malasa Tu are considered masters of questions. Here, I am speaking of Saint Kome and Damien, the two young boys who represent by location and by placement of the Potomita, the central pillar for all Vodou magic. So that's a very powerful passage when we think about Malasa. And I want to take a moment and kind of deconstruct this passage, really kind of phrase by phrase, because she shares a lot in that specific passage. So if we start by the beginning when she says, in reality, there are seven Malasa, because in Vodou, there's what's called duplication, which is governed by the numbers 7 and 14. So even though, again, the Malasa are thought to be twins, and twins we think of two, in truth, there are seven of them. Why is that? It goes back to this idea of divine paradox, because within Vodou, spirits can split, they can double, they can multiply. We see that when we see various different spirits, and they become nuanced manifestations of different energy expressions. We see spirits splitting or doubling or multiplying. So in this process, the Malasas are considered seven and not one, two, or three as they're typically seen on the surface. This process, this duplication, follows sacred numbers, right? And we know that Vodou numerology is extremely important to understand and be aware of. And so the number seven is a cosmic number of essentially the stages and levels within Vodou. And 14 is doubling. So 7 plus 7 is 14. So it's really interesting how she talked about the fact that there's actually seven Malasa and not just what people consider as one, two, or three. Then Mumbo Itesse goes on to say, these numbers are connected to the orientation of the temple, or Umfo, in relation to the seven stages on the central pillar, as represented by a serpent climbing upward, and the seven stages descending within the temple. Again, we're going to have an entire episode where we're going to break down the Potomita, because again, it is such an important artifact within Vodou ritual. The Potomita, again, is a central pillar, and it acts as an access within the Vodou temple, and it is the place where spirits descend into. So the spirits, essentially, when they're coming into the earthly realm, they come down through the Potomita, and that is how they manifest. They have access to the Potomita through Legba and the facilitation of them coming through the Potomita is with Wuto. Wuto helps facilitate that. Legba opens the gate and then they come through. So when she's saying that the numbers are connected, it goes back to the fact that there's seven levels up, right? Okay, so there's the seven spiritual stages of rising within the pillar, within the Potomita, and several levels down, which again is the descent of the mysteries into the earthly realm. So together they make 14, linking it back to Magasa's ability to duplicate and move across the realms. She also says, stay with me, she also says the Magasa are placed at these points to fulfill a domestic role as Vodou twins. So because the Magasas dwell at these stages, remember, the Magasas sit at the stages within the pillar. They anchor the pillar. They anchor several levels up, several levels down as spirits descend up and down in the Potomita to go up to the earthly realm. I'm sorry, to go up to the spiritual realm or to come down to the earthly realm. Meaning that if we think about the Magasas and their role in our lives day to day, they serve as domestic spirits. They serve as being close to humans, everyday life, not only within a ritual, but also within our lives. They embody the spirit of not only children, but essentially the family, essentially the household. And we're going to talk about the importance of Magasa within the family, what I call family positionality. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But to kind of wrap up, you know, kind of the last couple of parts of Mumbo Itess's statement or her phrase here, she calls out among them, Magasa Der are considered masters of questions. And when we think about Magasa Der, going back to this idea around divine paradox, Magasa Der specializes in riddles and questions. So they specialize in inquiry and mystery, and they force Vodouisans, specifically initiated Vodouisans, to wrestle with contradictions as a form of wisdom. Individuals, as you continue on your journey within Haitian Vodou, you will come to appreciate contradictions of life and see them as a space for learning and see them as a space of knowledge. So the Magasa Der helps facilitate that in being the masters of questions. And then finally, in the last part of her phrase, she mentions, I'm speaking of Saint Comet and Damien, the two young boys who represent bilocation and biplacement of the Potomita, the central pillar for all Vodou magic. So if we go back in many lineages, not all, but in many lineages, Saint Comet and Saint Damien are twin saints. They derive from Catholicism. And in the Vodou logic, the Magasa Der are not just saints. They actually embody this doubling. They embody this bilocation. So in other words, the Magasa show that the sacred center can be in paralactical, mirroring the Magasa's own paradoxical nature. This ability to be doubled is key for Vodou magic. I took some time to unpack this phrase because it is a little bit more advanced. However, I think it's important that you get a chance to understand the phrase, but also understand what it is that she's referring to. So even if it's okay, if what I just said, it's not making sense, that's okay. As you continue down your journey and you have an opportunity to experience Magasa, to see them manifest, to connect with them in divine communications and see that play out, see that divine paradox play out, this paragraph will make a lot more sense. Because with the paragraph, what Mumbo Itess is essentially saying in that paradox is that, in other words, the Magasa are not just two. It goes back to that there's seven of them, but they exist as seven because they are duplicating themselves. There's a sacred duplication that's taking place. And their main function, their main mystery within a Vodou ritual lens is tied to the pillar, the Potomita, and the pillar essentially rises and descends in seven stages. And the different forms of the Magasa energy guard each of these points on the Potomita, including the twin saints, Saint Kome and Damien, who symbolize the ability of the sacred center to be in two places at once. And this is why Magasa's embody paradox, and this is why they're essential to Vodou, because they hold the power of duplication, of bilocation, and mystery, Aibobo. So the Magasas, again, they are much more than just twins, as you can see, as we've kind of broken down. They represent so much more. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and finish unpacking the definition of the Magasa.
Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacedito@gmail.com. That's aguacedito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacedito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more.
Are you passionate about Haitian Vodou, its history, and its role in shaping the Haitian culture in the world? Then let us introduce you to COSAMBA, the premier scholarly association dedicated to the study of Haitian Vodou and Pan-African religions. COSAMBA brings together scholars, practitioners, and the broader community to explore the richness of Pan-African traditions. Through research, conferences, and community engagement, COSAMBA keeps the sacred tradition of Haitian Vodou alive while fostering deeper understandings. Whether you're a scholar, a student, or simply someone seeking to learn more about these powerful faith traditions, COSAMBA is your gateway to knowledge and connections. Visit COSAMBA, COSANBA.org, to learn more and join the movement.
Want to make a difference in a child's life? The Empowerment Network 10 Global, founded by Dr. Charlene Desir, is transforming communities by providing children with opportunities to learn, grow, and thrive. Through summer camps, leadership programs, and educational support, 10 Global creates safe, nurturing spaces where children can develop confidence, life skills, and a brighter future. Centered in Haitian Vodou cosmology and African spirituality, these programs give kids the tools they need to succeed, whether it's academically, socially, spiritually, or emotionally. But we need your help. By donating, volunteering, or spreading the word, you can help provide scholarships, supplies, and life-changing experiences for these young minds. Visit 10global.org today. That's TENGLOBAL.org. Get involved or get connected. Together, we empower. Together, we rise.
People often frame children as innocent, and as a result, they typically frame the Magasas as innocent as well. And I go back to saying how the Magasas are divine children who are paradoxically more ancient and more powerful than many senior loa. It goes back to people underestimating the power of the Magasa. I've actually heard
individuals that have been mounted by voodoo spirits, and they become mounted, let's say maybe for the first time with Maasa, and they're actually surprised how powerful that cosmic twin energy is within their body. They're very surprised about that because it goes back to this idea that the Maasas, they're twins, they're children, and they're innocent, and not realizing how primordial of a being the Maasas are. I've also heard growing up that if a Vodouisan owes some sort of spiritual debt to the Maasa laws, they can make their lives very uncomfortable until that specific debt has been paid. So don't mistake the Maasa's childlike nature as weakness. It goes back to weakness and fragility being powerful. It goes back to that divine paradox, because it can be deceiving from a westernized world view. Because the Maasas are primordial energy, which means that they carry, again, they have been in existence before space and time. So they carry a potent ancient divine energy that's quite honestly beyond our own human comprehension of what that looks. Again, they've existed before space and time. So they are, again, powerful, powerful entities. In many African traditions, children are seen as actually being closer to the ancestors. And similar in Vodou, children hold this untouchable sacredness. It just goes back to the fact that children, many lineages believe that because children are kind of closer to God, because they're just coming in, they represent that innocence, they represent that Maasa energy. It's a reminder of the unbroken connection to source, to the highest form of spiritual source. In Vodou ritual and cosmology, the Maasas do not conform to the binary oppositions, again, going back to them being the energies of divine paradox. So you sometimes see they are male-female twins. You'll see male-to-male. You see all women, all female twins, all male twins, or triplets. And sometimes they're indistinguishable because they are gender fluid or they're multigendered, mirroring the African understanding that spirits are beyond gender. And if we go back to Vodou temples and Vodou ritual or leglema, the Maasa, despite being children, often receive offerings in ritual first. So usually within most lineages, not all, but in most lineages, after God is prayed for and saluted and Papa Legba opens the door, the Maasas are typically the next ones called in ceremony. And because they are young in archetype, it goes back to people not understanding that they are actually the oldest, one of the oldest laws within the entire Vodou pantheon. In September 1991, Mumbo Itess discusses the role of Maasa within Vodou ritual, and she actually breaks down why Maasa is the first law to be saluted right after Legba. So she writes, in Vodou tradition, the Maasa fulfill the role of vital breath for the Vodou initiate. The Lwa are like stars that carry weight for the body of initiates. This weight can rise up to 200 pounds, meaning that the initiate is seized by a crisis or mystical trance, their body weight is completely abolished through the help of Maasa's vital breath. This brings forth an energy connected to the solar current at Legba's point and to Wedo current at Dumbala's point. For this reason, when Vodouisans perform a ritual dance, They orient themselves toward the four cardinal points, and Legba, together with Malasa, always arrive first as children before all other Lwa. So let's break that down. Let's deconstruct that specific passage on how Mumbo Etes is essentially saying why the Masas are the first Lwas to be specifically saluted. And this goes back to what we talked about earlier about the importance of the Magasa in the life of a Voduiza, or specifically in the life of a Vodou initiate. Because she says the Magasa fulfill the role of vital breath for the Vodou initiate. The Magasas in this context are like the life force that lets initiates breathe spiritually. They are the spark that keeps the body and the spirit connected when you enter Vodou mysteries. Ayibobo. So we already talked about the soul, and we talked about the role of the Guobo Anj, and the Guobo Anj being that the breath that connects us back to the universal life realm, to the universal life force. But from a Vodou perspective, an individual that is initiated, Masa is layered onto that life force to help initiates breathe spiritually, that allows the body and spirit to connect with Vodou spirits. Magasa plays that specific role. Fascinating. So the next part of her statement, she talks about the Lwa are like stars that carry weight for the body of the initiates. And this weight can rise up to 200 pounds. So in this phrase, Mumbo Etes is talking about when Lwas are in, when people are mounted by a Lwa, they're in possession, they're dancing in their heads, they are heavy. They are like cosmic forces pressing into human flesh. And you see that if you ever watch a video of an individual that's being mounted by a Lwa, or you see it in person, the person's body might shake, they might collapse, you may see some sort of struggle, but it goes back to the cosmic weight that the Lwas are. So the Malasas fulfill the role of vital breath to allow for that mounting to take place into an initiate's body. So it essentially accompanies the Guobo Anj in the fact of providing universal life force, but from a spiritual Vodou lens. She also says in the next passage, she says their body weight is completely abolished through the help of Magasa's vital breath. Because when Magasa steps in, because of the cosmic weight that it takes for a person to be mounted, Magasa's lighten that weight. They are the breath that makes the unbearable bearable, so that the cosmic force that is allowing a human body to carry something just so divine without essentially breaking it. The Magasas dissolve the heaviness of possession so that the individual can flow and be integrated with that divine spirit in that specific moment. Mumbo Etes also says this brings forth an energy connected to the solar current at Legba's point and to the Wedo current at Dambala's point. So in this passage, the Masas don't just bring relief, they connect you to cosmic power. That is their role, which is why they sit at the seven stages within the Potomita, because that's where the Lwas travel back and forth from. So they channel, in this context, they channel the sun force of Legba that opens the way, that opens the gate, but they also channel the serpent water force of Dambala. And we're going to be talking about Dambala in a couple of episodes. And Dambala brings life and wisdom. Dambala is another primordial spirit. So together with Legba and Dambala, this energy is fiery and fluid. It's heaven and earth. It's masculine and feminine. It's yin and yang. Because of their energy connecting that solar current, connecting that water current, it helps facilitate you connecting with divine cosmic power. And so she summarizes that to say, for this reason, when Voduizas perform the ritual dance, They orient themselves towards the four cardinal points, and Legba, together with Maasa, always arrives first as the children before all other law. As she concludes, Vodou practitioners usually face the four directions as part of their salutations because spirit moves through all of the world in all four directions. And before any laws arrive, right, we have Legba and Maasa that come first because children are closer to the source of life. Children are closer to mystery. They are the beginning. They are the first breath. And so they must be honored before all others. So in other words, to really summarize what she's saying there, the Maasas are the breath of life that allows humans to hold divine power without breaking it, that allows for that possession, that mounting to take place in the earthly realm. The Maasas lighten the heavy presence of the spirits and open the way to cosmic energy tied to the son of Legba and to the water serpent of Dambala. That is why in ritual, Maasas arrive first, because they are children, the first spark of life, the ones closest to creation itself, and they play a significant role within Vodou ritual. What's also interesting is that Mumbo Ita, she shares in another passage, I wanna kind of share this and break this one down as well. But it goes back to the importance of Maasa and how, again, people just so underestimate. And I'm hopeful, listeners, as you're listening to this information, you look at the Maasas very differently after this episode, Aibobo. So in this passage, Mumbo Ita shares the importance of Maasa when it comes to the role they play within the lives of Vodouiza. And of Vodouiza, again, Maasas play a vital life force. We talked about the Maasas helping create that divine connection. But in this specific passage, she writes, "The Maasa give the Vodouiza great weight in order to carry out mystical work. But this mystery is often not given the importance it truly holds. This is because the Maasa appear in the form of children, and children do not command. Yet the Maasa are in fact the magical soul, the Kabbalistic force of water, expressed through the ritual known by a special name, the sacred water. This is why three drops of water that the Vodouiza always pours as a libation carry the name of the three Maasa. At this point, it is Maasa Dogwe who personifies lightning in the temple through the rite of pouring water, because each drop signifies the spirit of water in Vodou." Aibobo. So let's break that down. Let's deconstruct that specific passage and why Mumbo Itas was saying that the Maasas play such an important role within the lives of a Vodouiza. We talked about that earlier, but here it brings it down another level, and it talks about how the Maasas are connected to the libations that Vodouizas pour for their spirits. So if we go back, she says the Maasa give the Vodouiza great weight in order to carry out mystical work. And this speaks to the spiritual authority, essentially, and energy that the Maasa give to Vodou practitioners. They, meaning the Maasas, give the practitioners the heaviness they need, gives them the coverage they need in order to do real secret work. But this mystery is often not given the importance it truly holds. This is because the Maasa appear in the form of children, and children do not command. And we've said this time and time again so far in this episode, is that people underestimate the Maasa because they show up as children and they seem innocent and playful and powerless, yet their true power gets overlooked. She continues to say, "Yet the Maasa are in fact the magical soul, the Kabbalistic force of water, and expressed through ritual known by a special name, the sacred water." And then In this context, the Maasas are considered the hidden core of Vodou's magical soul. Their element is water, which in Vodou is one of the deepest symbols of life, the concept of water, the concept of spiritual force and fluidity. So when water is consecrated in ritual, like for example, when we pour a libation, it becomes a living channel of the Magasa's energy. It helps invoke multiplicity. It helps invoke that divine paradox, the duality, the connectedness that individuals have with the divine. This is why the three drops of water that the Vodouisans always pours carry the name of the three Magasa. That's a fun fact. When the Vodouisan pours out libation, it is never random. The three drops of water offered always honor the three Magasa, calling their presence into ritual. So every time you drop three drops of water, it is a respect and a libation and offering to the spirits, but it essentially carries the Magasa energy and helping call their presence into the earthly realm. So she summarizes that by saying, at the point of color, it is Magasa Dogwe who personifies lightning in the temple through the rite of pouring water, because each drop signifies the spirit of water in Vodou. And Magasa Dogwe is important specifically for Vodou initiates. We'll talk about that in a future episode. However, in this context, when water is poured in the temple, it's not just liquid. It carries the fire of lightning inside. So each drop of water represents spirit, reminding everyone that water in Vodou is alive, it's sacred, and it's electrified with Magasa's force. So in summary, Mumbo Itas is essentially saying that the Magasa's may appear as playful children, but they are essentially the hidden soul of Vodou. They are living in the water that are poured for libations, and the water element carries life, memory, and magic. So every time a Vodouisan or an initiate pours three drops of water, it is Magasa's themselves as being honored and called into the temple. So even in something as simple as water, they carry lightning, they carry mystery, they carry force that makes Vodou work. It's really important to understand these particular perspectives when it comes to the Magasa. So we're going to take another break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the role of Magasa when it comes to spiritual insight as well as family positionality.
Yeah!
Nugejeo. Masalayo Nugejeo. Nugejeo. Nugeje Masa Punugadeo la. So in that song that I had just sung, I said, we have eyes. We have eyes. Maasa spirits, we have eyes. We have eyes so that we can look at them there. That's essentially the literal translation of that song. And that speaks to the spiritual insights, the spiritual connectedness that the Maasa have. So when we say Nugenjeo, that is a claim of spiritual vision. And it's not just physical vision, it's spiritual sight. And that Maasa has the immense power of spiritual insight because, again, they're ancient primordial beings. So when the Maasas lend their eyes to their community, it helps Vodouisans see beyond the illusions. It helps Vodouisans see beyond contradictions. It helps a Vodouisan see the hidden truth. Maasas are sometimes called investigators because they can see beyond the surface. They can see what is truly happening underneath the surface. So when we say, you know, there, that is a direct encounter. It's saying that, you know, Maasa is not far away in another realm. They are present. They're right here. And they see everything that's happening. Think of children. Think of like young children. And think of, if you think about kind of like visually, children, like being able to watch people like behind a door, or there's, you know, they're underneath a table hearing kind of grown-ups talk, you're hearing conversations. That's kind of in the spiritual lens, is kind of that type of insight that usually the children are hiding in plain sight, and they're hearing information and they're seeing things that's happening that other people may miss. And so that song kind of speaks to that specific energy and the spiritual insight that the Maasas have as primordial ancient beings. I want to switch gears and I want to talk about the importance of Maasa when it comes to family. When we're thinking about the Maasa, you have to also consider the role of the family and what I call family positionality, the role of a family unit and their relationship with the Maasas. In Haitian Vodou, twins mark a sacred rearrangement of family life. Family in this context takes on spiritual roles. And so the family and the positionality of different individuals within a family also has a Maasa energy to it. And it's really interesting. We think about this idea around positionality. There's varying different definitions out there in terms of which Maasas represent what parts of the family. So, for example, in some houses, there's this concept that if a family has a set of twins or a set of triplets, there is this idea that the child that was born before the twins or triplets has a specific role. And the child that is born, if there is, the child that's born after the twins or the triplets have a specific role. In some families, they call them Maasa Dosa. And Maasa Dosa is the child that was born before the twins. And then the child that was born after twins or after triplets were born are called Maasa Dosu. And the idea is that the children born before or after is supposed to be that balancing. Going back to the two equals three paradox, it goes back to that idea of multiplicity and that things are not always linear. So we hear sometimes dosu dosa. You'll sometimes hear dosu dosa refers to boy and girl. She's talking about the gender. Which is interesting in that whether we're talking about family positionality within a family that has twins or we're talking about gender, there's this idea that individuals that are born after a set of twins are considered to be even more powerful. And when we say powerful, meaning spiritually powerful. So it's really interesting how different lineages have different ways that they view the Malasa, not only from a spiritual perspective, but also from a familial perspective. There's also names for the parents. So an individual within Haiti and within Vodou cosmology, there's what's called Mama Jimo. And Mama Jimo is essentially the mother of Malasa. It's called that. It's called Mama Jimo. In Vodou, you also have what's called Papa Jimo. And Papa Jimo is the father of Malasa. And these are also considered spiritual entities in and of themselves. Papa Jimo, you sometimes may hear Papa Jimo called Papa Malasa. You sometimes hear that they may be called Saint Nicolas. You sometimes hear that Papa Jimo is also called Soleil de la Justice. So there's different names and people invoke whether it's Mama Jimo or Papa Jimo, depending on their lineages, bitation, or societes reglement. And speaking of reglement, there's also, in some lineages, not all, but in some, if a family has twins that run in that specific family or triplets that run in that family, there's this idea that they are essentially expected to serve the Malasa. So, for example, there's some families that have that twin energy. Sometimes their families provide annual offerings to honor all the twins of their lineage, both living and deceased. Or they have other types of rituals that they do in order to honor the sacredness of that primordial energy that runs in their bloodline. There's been instances where I've actually heard where individuals have twins that run in their family and they do not have reverence to Malasa, but maybe at some point they used to, but for whatever reasons, those traditions got lost. And that actually sometimes can bring blockages. It can create energetic blockages in a family that has twins that run in that family that maybe used to serve Malasa in the past, but for whatever reasons, generations later, they're no longer doing so. That can sometimes create issues within the family that they have to iron out. And if we want to talk about energetic blockages, I highly recommend you check out the episode I did on generational curses, episode 24. With that, I want to give a big aibobo, aibobo, aibobo to all of the Malasas, Malasa do Sul, Malasa do Sa, Malasa do Gwe, Malasa d'Egypte, Malasa do Kwan, Malasa do Shi, Malasa Gwa, Malasa Kai, Malasa Congo, Malasa Choquette, Malasa Ile, Malasa Bodmer, Malasa Petwo, Malasa Dada, Malasa Creole, Malasa Bwakmakak, Malasa L'Afrique Guinée. Aibobo, aibobo, aibobo. I want to show immense, immense love to all of the Malasas of the universe, both known and unknown. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back and talk about a comparative analysis of other deities similar to Malasa and Haitian Vodou in other religions.
Aye, Bobo!
Aye, Bobo!
The Zubasa, eh! Masakala de me anasia do gwe! The Zubasa, eh! Masakala de me anasia do gwe! Do koli do gwe! O do koli do gwe! Ago, eh! Masakala de me anasia do gwe!
I'm not afraid of the dark.
If we look at Magasa from a comparative theological perspective, the Magasa, that sacred twin energy, runs across a multitude of different religions. I'm going to start with African tradition. So within many West African traditions, the sacred twins are deeply sacred, and their birth is a sign of divine intervention. So within the Yoruba, specifically the Yoruba tradition, they have the Ibeji, and the Ibeji are sacred twin deities that are associated with blessing, fertility, and protection. And there is a running idea that the Haitian Magasa are often understood as a creolized continuation of that twin reverence, of the twin Ibeji. In both the Congo and Yoruba traditions, twins symbolize access across the spiritual realm. And fun fact, there's actually a town in Nigeria that's well known to have the most twins in the world. That town is called Igbo Ora. It's located in the southwestern region of Nigeria. And it's actually known as the twin capital of the world. And they hold an annual twin festival because they have so many twins that derive from this small town. So it goes back to the importance and the sacredness of understanding the Magasa energy. If we were to think about some indigenous practices within the Americas, they have what's called the Maya hero twins, the Hufunu and Balanku, which are central figures of Popol Vuh, who descend into the underworld, defeats death, and embodies playfulness and cosmic renewal. So like Magasa, they are youthful yet cosmically profound. Also within another indigenous practice, the Navajo twins, what's called the Monster Slayer and Born for Water. These are considered sacred children of changing woman, and they bring balance by defeating chaos beings. So we see this idea of twin energy within the indigenous Americas. If we travel across and talk about Hinduism, within the Vedic tradition, this was called Ashvans. And Ashvans are essentially twin horsemen, gods of healing and dawn, who embody the union of opposites. So similar to Magasa and the divine paradox. The Ashvans embody night and day, dark and light, mortality and immortality, etc., etc. In Hinduism, there's also what's called Krishna and Balarama. And these are sibling figures who mirror each other's energy, but also hold complementary cosmic roles. If we switch gears and we take it to look at some of the Abrahamic religions, and we look at even, you know, biblical references of twins, we think about the story of Jacob and Esau, the archetype of sacred twins whose rivalry and bond shape destiny. Even Cain and Abel, these are primordial brothers in the biblical myth that embodied life, death, and the tensions of duality. In Catholicism, we had already talked about Saint Comet and Damien, which are saints who serve God by healing. And in many Vodou lineages, not all, but many of them actually use the Saint Comet and Damien imagery to represent Magasa, because it became a mask for Magasa during enslavement. And I find that really fascinating because the Magasa, the Vodou Magasa twins, are actually primordial beings that are older than the saints. Because Vodou, again, the concept of Vodou and the traditions within Vodou and many of the spirits were around and have been around even before the dawn of time, before time and space, before the birth of Christianity. So I find it interesting that, again, this goes back, this is actually a living paradox if you think about using the imagery of Saint Com and Damien to represent Magasa, because Magasa in this context are older than saints, are older than the picture that it represents in and of itself. So it goes back to, that's like a fundamental example of two or one, or one is three, and that idea of paradoxy in action. And lastly, we go to the Greco-Roman religious practices. Castor and Pollux are twin brothers who symbolize brotherhood, our protection of sailors, and they are the link between mortality and divinity. So we see across the world this idea of sacred twins and each energy kind of having a nuanced representation around this idea of duality, around this idea of divine paradox. If we switch gears, let's talk about what does it mean if you see the Magasas surface in your life? When the Magasas step into your life, it is never random. Actually, any law that you see start to surface in your life is never random. But particularly ones that are as ancient as the Magasas. When they arrive, they have messages that are deeper than logic itself. They are deeper than time and space themselves. And the Magasa energy, their presence always signals change. It always signals protection. Or it signals some sort of lesson wrapped in a paradox. And this is important to understand. If you are a Vodouisan, or you are learning about Vodou, this is a practice that you're interested in making a way of life, because Vodou is bigger than just spirituality. It is a way of life. Understanding when certain laws start to show up in your life, understanding what that means is just as important as the law's presence in and of itself. It goes back to you being able to connect with your laws, you being able to understand the energy, the messages that are being shared with you. What do they mean? But most importantly, what is it that you do with that information? So Magasa showing up in your life can mean one of several things. I've got about maybe five or six here that I wanna share. The first clear message that Magasa surfacing in your life can represent is that they want you to sit within the contradiction. So there may be something in your life where you're being asked to understand it from a different lens. Maybe there's a situation you're dealing with, let's say, within your home life, your career, school, within your relationships, and it feels somewhat double-sided. It feels like nothing is making sense. Sometimes the Magasas show up just to ask you to see that complexity as not a problem, but essentially as a way that spirits are moving, and to sit with that contradiction. Going back to, things don't have to be good and evil, up or down, left or right. Remember, they can be and. Something could be good and evil, left and right, up and down. And sometimes situations in our lives force us to think in this duality mode, when in actuality, it is for you to see what is being said, what is being said or what is not being said in the gap between two opposite forces. And this was an important, at least for me, I'll speak from my perspective. This was an important grounding concept for me to understand in my life, because in the past, I used to see things as black and white. And again, from a very westernized growing up, where things could either be this or that, right? And as I've built my relationship with Magasas, I've built my relationship with other laws, I've come to, in a sense, appreciate and understand the importance of creating space and acknowledging the contradictions of my life. But not only understanding them, but leaning into them and understanding, well, what's the lesson that I need to glean from this paradox, from this contradiction? What is it that I need to learn? It's a powerful place to be. When you are not cognitively confined or constrained to the limiting beliefs of duality. Because going back to Magasas, Magasas represent energy beyond time and space. And that can sometimes be beyond our human comprehension. But if we lean into these, what we see as contradictions, and not shame or not create judgment of them, we sometimes see a lesson that is waiting for us that's wrapped in that paradox. And while I know I still have a lot of work to do. I know I still have a lot of work to do in this space because, again, I'm born and I continue to be reconditioned in a Western lens. However, energies like Maasa help ground me, help me remember to not rush to resolve the contradiction. It's okay to sit in it. It's okay because the tension in and of itself is sacred. The process, it goes back to, it's not just about the destination, it's the journey. And the Maasa energies remind us of that. Another reason the Maasas may be surfacing in your life is that you may be due for a rebirth. You may be stepping into a new cycle of renewal in your life, and they're asking you to, in this recycle, to kind of start anew. Sometimes we start new cycles in our lives and we bring the quote-unquote baggage of our past, right? We bring our fears, we bring our doubts. We said, well, this didn't work this way last time, so it's maybe not going to work in this new era or this new situation, whatever the case is. And part of a true rebirth is a return to that inner childhood and that inner way that you explored, the inner way that you had hope and faith in the potential and the possibilities of the future, and not letting your past continue to write your future. So in this context, the Maasas can mean that it's time to begin again. It's time for a new renewal, but you got to shed the heaviness in order to really embody and really take advantage of that new cycle that you may be going into. Aibobo. And part of that, it kind of goes back to the inner child. And sometimes we have to not take life so seriously. And so sometimes Maasa energy may show up because we're being too serious. You know, we have to sometimes be able to laugh, to bring joy into our lives. And it's really interesting, listeners. You hear sometimes people talk about they want to be happy or they want to be prosperous or whatever the case is. I rarely hear enough people talk about wanting to bring joy into their lives. And for many individuals, that may not even be an emotion that they quite even know what it feels like. And other individuals, sometimes because joy is so, it's something that's so rare, sometimes people cry out of the heaviness. And it's a positive heaviness, but sometimes the heaviness of joy is so deep and it's so kind of, you know, visceral in terms of our soul experiencing it, we cry tears of joy, as it's called. So the Maasa energy reminds us to bring in that inner child, step into new spaces of rebirth with a new lens, with a sense of joy, with a sense of laughter. And that actually helps us manifest quicker. Because when we are at in a frequency of laughter, of joy, of happiness, of essentially light energies, it helps us remember that play is medicine, that laughter is holy, and freedom often comes in the form of playfulness. So sometimes the Maasas show up when things are too heavy, too controlled, too constricted, and we're asked to bring our inner joy back into our lives. Going back to this idea that the Maasas are essential anchor in families, in the family household, sometimes the Maasas may surface when something in the family line addressed. You sometimes, and this may be triggering this next statement here for some, sometimes there's grief. If there may be grief around children or around twins, something's happening. If you have twins in your family and there's grief behind that, miscarriages, lost pregnancies, sometimes there's sibling rivalry or broken family connections that need to be mended. So sometimes the Maasas show up in a way that they want to see the family reconnected. They want to see the family whole again. They want to see equilibrium in the family line. So the Magasas may show up because it is time to honor what is forgotten so that the lineage can be whole again. So Magasas can also represent the need for ancestral healing. Masas may also show up as protectors. So if you are in a space where you're endangered or something happening, the Masas may show up as a way to protect you. And it's really interesting that they also show up in a way that they want you to think, they want you to kind of broaden your horizons, let's just say. They want you to think beyond the straight and narrow, beyond what's linear. And they want you to think and be able to, you know, when we think about the words, the phrase, think outside the box, that is essentially Magasa energy. So anytime you hear this from now on, you know we're talking about Magasa energy when we say think outside the box or think creatively. So sometimes they show up in your lives because they see how your worldview is and they want to see you broaden your horizons. They want to see you think outside the box because maybe the lessons of your life in this particular moment requires for you to get outside of structured thinking, outside of a linear thinking, outside of anything that's maybe been constrained or confined in order for you to be able to reap the benefits of the lessons that you need to learn in this particular moment in this incarnation. So when Magasas, in conclusion, and kind of to wrap that up and to kind of wrap up today's conversation, when the Magasas surface in your life, it means that you are being pulled into a space of paradox, a space of renewal, a space of protection. They are calling you to essentially live with the mysteries of Vodou and to flow. They want to see flow in your life, maybe. And they maybe want to see you laugh. They want to see you bring joy back into your life. They want to see you bring healing back to your family. Aibobo. So I hope after today's episode, you have a different appreciation for the Magasa Lois, the amazing, the beloved sacred twins of the Haitian Vodou pantheon. And so again, our dearest Magasa Lois, we love you. We honor you. We thank you so much for all you do to help us stay connected to the divine, to help us bring creativity to our lives, and to help us all spiritually see. Aibobo, aibobo, aibobo. That is it for today's episode. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. Make sure to follow or subscribe so you never miss an update. Have a question, thoughts, or comments about today's episode? Feel free to email us at aguacerito@gmail.com. Don't forget to share this episode with the first person that comes to mind who might need to hear this message as well. Join us next time as we honor Papa Loco and Mambo Aiza, the sacred laws of priesthood. Until then, keep learning, growing, and pushing forward on your journey. And as always, we will close out in prayer. Thank you to Almighty Creator, source of all life and breath. Thank you to all of the divine saints, spirits, and protectors who have walked with us in this sacred gathering. Thank you to the ancestral spirits in the east, west, north, and south. May your presence continue to guide us as we move forward. Thank you to the spirits of earth, water, fire, and air, both known and unknown, who sustain and balance us in every moment. Thank you to the Magasa Lois that helped shape this episode, and thank you for continuing to connect us to the divine. Thank you to the ancestors of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents and beyond, whose wisdom and sacrifices have paved the way for our existence. Thank you to all of our ancestors, near and far. We appreciate your love, your strength, and
your eternal guidance. We give gratitude for the unity we have shared and for the wisdom that has been revealed in this moment. We release ourselves into the world with your blessings, asking for your continued protection and guidance as we walk our path. We honor the thread that connects us all as children of this earthly realm and as spiritual beings beyond it. May the light of wisdom, the power of courage, and the bond of love remain with us as we part ways. May our hearts remain open, our minds remain clear, and our spirits remain strong to continue learning and growing and thriving together. We affirm that all that is needed has been received, all that is to be learned will unfold, and all that is to be shared will bear fruit in time. Aibobo, ago ago, bo, lababa, asao, alaso, aoshenago, jabodo, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa, sen, bo. Thank you for tuning into the Agua Cerrito podcast show.
Joining us on the Agua Cerrito podcast show. Together we honor our ancestors, embrace the beauty of Vodou, and step boldly toward liberation. If this episode resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps us amplify the spirit of Haitian Vodou even further. Join us next week as we continue this journey to connect, inspire, and uplift. Until then, walk boldly with your spirits, and remember, the Agua Cerrito Show is not just a podcast. It is a vibration, a celebration, a path to freedom.